Good evening and welcome to The Librarian, Authors on the Air. The Librarian host, Tabitha Fox. This is a copyright and trademark podcast owned solely by Authors on the Air, LLC, on the web at authorsontheair.com. Tonight in my double feature, I have Brian Albert, the USA best-selling contemporary romance author with Entangled Publishing. Her name, Jen McLaughlin. She also writes and Wall Street Journal best-selling books with Penguin Random House. She was for alongside James as one of the breakout independent authors to dominate the best-selling lists. She's represented by the Louise Fury at Ben Avery. She has been a dreamer with a nomination. It was until 2011 that she put in where her brain was and a published author. Since receiving her first contract offer, yet stop writing. Though she lived in the mountains, she was surrounded by a beach with crystal clear water. She lived in North Pennsylvania with her 4 husband, Mauser Mutt, and 3 kids. Her goal is to write so many non-romance readers know her name. She found out more about Diane in her books and asked.com. And welcome to Diane.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me here.
So, on and guys, we're having a bit of a connection issue. So, excuse our if we repeat ourselves. Because
yeah, it's actually worse right now. I can't hear much at all right now, to be honest. I might, it's really breaking up.
I'll try to understand. I'm so sorry. It might be entertaining for everybody this year. I'll ask them a question wrong. I'll be like, what is she talking about? Yeah, that'd be fun. I can ask them. See, I didn't hear a word about it, so I'm just going to say dogs. I have no idea what you asked me, but my answer is dogs. Okay, can you hear me now?
I heard that, yeah.
Okay. So just give us a little, since you didn't, you started publishing in 2011, what was it that actually made you sit down and like it said, put your pen where your brain was and write that book?
Okay. Actually, I have 4 children. My youngest is a daughter, and she is currently 8 years old. I had my daughter, the youngest one, and I wasn't sleeping because, as you know, babies don't sleep.
Right.
So I picked up the Twilight series. I know, everybody says this, but I did. I picked up the Twilight series, and I read it straight through because I didn't sleep. And I got to the end of it, and I read her bio, and it said that she was a stay-at-home mom that decided to write. And I've always wanted to write, as I said, and it was something I was always interested in since I won the contest in 5th grade for best writer in the class. Like, I book made and everything. Like, ever since then, I wanted to do it. But in my head, I guess I had told myself I couldn't, if that makes sense. So I never really tried. And then after that, after I read Twilight, I went to sleep, but then I just had this vivid dream, and like I woke up and I was like, I'm going to write this down and describe it because I feel like this is supposed to be in a book. So I wrote what is the ending scene of my first book that I've ever written. I sat down and I wrote that. And then after I wrote that scene, I was like, well, now I want to tell the rest of the story. And then it all kind of just came from there. So I finished my first book in probably about, I'm trying to remember how long it took me. Maybe 2 or 3 months. I don't know, because it was a blur because I wasn't sleeping. But I wrote that book, and then I started shopping it around. Got tons of rejections. After a while, I was like, okay, I suck. I'm going to stop now. And I just kind of sat on it. And then probably about after a year, I went back to it. I revised it because I'm stubborn, and that's how I am. So I went back to it, and I tried to make it better. And then I sent it out to a bunch of agents again. I got a bunch of rejections. But I also sent it to online publishers, which back then were kind of new. Mm-hmm. And I ended up getting a bite from Decadent Publishing, and they published my first ever book.
Awesome. A persistent liaison.
Yes, I'm very stubborn. I was like I know I could have moved on to another book, but I was like, no, I want this one. This is the one I want out. So I just kept trying to make it better and shopping it around, and finally it worked out.
And the writer was born from deprivation.
Yes, exactly. Because she did not like to sleep. She sleeps now, but back then, not so much.
I had one of those. Understand. But I don't know how you had the wherewithal to gather your brain cells to write, because all I could think about was crying and I want to sleep.
I did a little bit of that too. I still do that sometimes.
Me too. Kids seem to have a whole lot more energy than, energy is wasted on the youth. Let's just put it that way.
Yes. Currently, right now, I'm sitting outside of a school while my kids are inside having basketball practice. So that energy has not worn off.
The thing I have to do. Well, good for you. I'm the rest of us that you didn't get sleep and you became a writer, because you have a book and written under your name as well. And how cool that you were mentioned as E.L. James. Just a neat thing right there. Wow. Put me alongside.
I think
James.
Cool. Yes, I know. When my agent sent me like the online copy of that article, I was just kind of staring at it and I'm like, are they really talking about me? Are we sure? Is that a Jen McLaughlin out there somewhere? I mean, there's gotta be one. But yeah, that was
is really, really neat. So you had the writer bug early. You were talking about winning a contest in like elementary school. Did you write things and leave them, leave little notebooks of writing all around? Were you one of those kids?
Actually, I think I wrote mostly poems back then. I remember when I was like, because I started reading romance books young, like younger than I would let my children read them at this point. But I was probably like 12 when I picked up my first romance book. Mm. I was bored at my grandmother's house and I was laying by her bookshelf and I just saw this book sitting there and I was like, I'm going to read this. And I picked it up and like I never stopped. So I loved romance books very young. I remember sitting down when I was probably about 15 years old and I wrote like the first couple pages of a book, and all I remember was it was a historical romance and she had violet eyes and she was getting off a ship, and that's all I can tell you. But I think I started a book pretty young, besides the one that I won the contest for, which was, a fifth grade book, so it wasn't romance.
Right. Oh, goodness. Do your children, do they have a passion for writing or reading?
Yes. All of them are pretty big readers. My oldest daughter, she's 17 and she's a senior in high school and she's also going to college. So she writes like fan fiction. Shows that I like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to read them, but I know she writes them. Romance-y and she doesn't want her mother reading it, but yeah, she does like to write, and she's debating going to school to become an editor. She's still deciding, but she definitely has the English bug in her, and then all of my children are huge readers. Like, they'll have a book with them all the time.
That's really awesome that 17 found something she's really passionate about. Has she ever read any of your books?
She read Out of Line. That was a new adult book. She read that one, and she read Between Us, which was also a new adult book.
Okay.
Those are the only two that she's read of, yeah.
Okay.
There's still steamy scenes in them, but it was, close to her age. So.
Right, yeah.
And
I'm sure she's seen a rated R movie.
Yes, she has. And she also read my young adult book that I wrote very early on in my career that will probably never see the light of day, but she read that one as well.
Well, that's neat. When you were doing, you know, when you were searching around for submitting your manuscripts and things, I'm sure that at some point you wanted to just, I mean, you did give up for a while, but you wanted to just say, I'm going to write something totally different. Was there ever anything else besides contemporary that you just thought you might want to write?
Yes, absolutely. I actually have a historical romance I've written. It's completed, but I wrote it probably at this point, gosh, it has to have been 5 years ago. So my writing has changed a lot in the past 5 years. So what I plan on doing is pulling that book back out and polishing it up, because I would really like to see it on the shelves, because that's like my favorite book I've ever written, because I love historical romance. Like, that's my thing I go to when I want to read. So I really wanted to write one, and I did, and I love it, but it definitely needs to be cleaned up before I can send it out to any publisher. So
yeah,
I did write that, and I really want to write another young adult book that could actually be published, because the one I wrote, I just, no matter how much work I put into it, I don't think it's going to be publishable. So it was more of a project
for
me, I think. But yeah.
You'd be amazed at some of the things that get published.
Yes.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, I was a young adult librarian, and I've read some of the ones that were the big, you know, popular ones of the time, and kind of went, really? I mean,
yeah.
I don't see anything special about this. But okay. And then there's some that I just find absolutely amazing, and they just don't get the acclaim, you know, that I feel like they should have, but that's just me.
That happens a lot in the book world, I think.
I think so too. Yeah. Is there a book that you can think of that you've read that you think should have been like a bigger, huge, you know, something really huge, got more praise and acclaim and accolades?
Think about it. I really liked my friend Jay Crownover's, what series is it? I'm trying to think, because I'm horrible with title names. I want to say The Saints of Denver. They're like all anti-heroes, bad boys. I actually really like
that
series. But I like the gritty hero, like the not hero guys. I love them. So, like, I know that, I don't know how much acclaim it did get, but they were awesome books, and I feel like I didn't hear that talked about enough. And
right. Saints of Denver, she writes, and I like it, the anti-hero. There's something about his really not necessarily perfect.
Yes.
You know, I agree with that a lot. So tell me about your this. It comes out on the 12th, just a couple of days away. And tell us a little bit about that, where that your inspiration for that came from, and about the book.
Yes, so that book, it is a contemporary romance category. So, you know, it's about 60,000 words in length. The typical, you know, sit down and read it in maybe one or two settings. The premise of the book is that the hero, Brett, he was, like, his parents died when he was young, and his aunt and uncle raised him. They were very rich because of his parents, but they didn't give him anything. He was basically like Harry Potter under the stairs. So he grew up his whole life without any affection from his family. But he was best friends with the family next door, which is the Hamilton family. Mm-hmm. And then, like, when he grows up, he leaves town. He never comes back. He's like, I'm done with this. I don't want to see those people. I don't want to be there. Like, everybody made fun of him and shoved him into lockers. Like, he did not have a childhood at all. And his only friends were them. So his best friend, the one that was in his grade with him, is getting married. And they're having a weekend-long wedding. Like, one of those not destination, because it's at their house, but there's, like, games and dancing and, you know, it's weekend-long. So
an event.
Comes back at, yeah. Yes, it's a very big event, because they're rich and they can. So he comes back to town for his best friend's wedding, and his best friend's little sister, who he's also friends with,
I've been in love with him since day one, and she basically decided that this is the weekend for her to have her shot at actually getting him.
But
he has made a blood promise to his best friend to never touch her when they were teenagers, so he's very determined not to touch her.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah, and he's very, and you know, he's got the whole mind frame that he's not good enough for her and he never will be. So she's dealing with a lot of that story in this book.
Wow.
And just spending
it's
throwing,
a
Yeah. And then you throw in the overprotective brothers, which I made very overprotective, like extremely overprotective, and it makes for an interesting story.
That sounds like a good, and the wedding, I love how wedding funerals and, you know, babies and things like that always bring in, things happen
like that. Exactly.
When you're writing a contemporary, it's easier to draw from real life things going around and everything. Do you picture them from, what am I looking for? Your life, if things cross in your life, maybe popular culture. What are some sources, resources you use to draw from?
I do a mixture of all of those things, I would say. Sometimes I'll be sitting at a basketball game or cheerleading practice, and I'll just hear somebody say something, and I'm like, oh, that's got to be in a book. And then, or somebody will tell me a story where I'm like, there's no way that's real. That's going in a book. Like, so I do draw from real life stuff. And like, if say my husband says something that's really funny, I'm like, I'll like file it away for like an appropriate time for, and I'll just see, I'm like, this is it. That's where I have to put it. You know? So I do that. And also like my characters, foods and drinks that they like are usually what I'm in the mood for at the moment. So if my characters are like, I could really go for an apple teeny, characters are like, I really want an apple teeny. And the same goes with like music. Like I make a Who and like the Hamilton musical. Like I'm always referencing things that I'm obsessed with in my books. So people can start to like kind of notice those things and see the bits and pieces of myself in my books. And then with as far as like drawing inspiration from TV shows and other books and movies, I do that more so than real life, I would say, because I'll see like something play out on the screen and I'll think to myself, that was awesome, but I would have done this.
Right.
And like, I kind of build off of that, and I'm like, well, what if this happened and then this happened and this person said this and then like that's kind of how I come up with like my book, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That's perfect sense.
Yeah.
My husband
yeah.
and I have been doing binge watching on the weekend, and you know, that story would have been better if she'd have done this or he'd have done this or yeah, or if this would have happened, then that would have really put them in this and that was much better. So, do that with the hall movie, so I understand.
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what I mean. Like a lot of writers on shows, they'll miss like that opportunity. Like, oh, you could have like really gouged their hearts out if you did this. You know, like why didn't you do that?
Yeah, I know.
So it just makes me think.
Time too.
Yeah.
When you start your whole, you said, like, started with that event. And at what point did you get it later on in the process, or were you first?
I couldn't hear that one. I tried.
That's okay. you started your process. You said you were picked up by Decadent for the first book. Did you get an agent after that? Were you
first? Okay. I hear you.
Okay.
Yeah. I was at Decadent without an agent first, and then I signed a few more books with Decadent. I was writing for them for the first four, like most of them were novellas minus my first book, so they were short, but I wrote four or five books for them. And then I submitted to my publisher Entangled, who this new book is out with, because I've been with Entangled for a long time now at this point. And I got a bite on the book that I had submitted, and I had previously submitted to agents. So I kind of like told them about the bite on the book so that they would know, and then things just kind of happened from there. And I signed with an agent that I'm no longer with. I was with her for almost a year, and then I ended up signing with the agent I have now, and I've had her for probably 4 years at this point now. It's been a long time, I think. I love her.
And talking about who submit new author, having your agent. I mean, I know a lot of people tell me they just want more work for you. And especially if you're a mom and one child, do you recommend an agent to new authors, or feel about that whole opinion?
I think I got most of that. You're asking if I recommend an agent to a new author, correct?
Right.
Is that what you said?
It's 18.
Okay.
Yeah,
it was breaking up, but I thought I got it. Okay. I think, yes, I think agents are a good thing to have. Now, if you're going to be writing strictly for ebooks, maybe it's not as important, but agents will still comb through contracts and make sure that you don't get put in a bad one, first of all. And second of all, they'll cover your butt so that, like, you're not, because a lot of contracts, it'll say, like, first right of refusal for all future books. You know, like, it's all in the wording. And agents will look at that. And they'll make sure that that doesn't happen to you. And also, I've been in some tricky situations as a writer myself before I had an agent. And, like, it's just like having someone to watch your back. They're always looking out for your best interest. They help your career if you find the right one. But I am of the very firm belief that it's better to have no agent than to have the wrong agent. So you don't want to rush into it. You want to do your research, make sure that, you know, anybody out there, if you email them and say, hey, I got an offer from your agent or your publisher or whatever, are you happy with them? Can you tell me anything? Any author out there is going to either say, oh, I love them, they're great, you know, you should definitely sign with them, or I'm sorry, I can't say anything. If you get the latter, you know that you don't want to do that. So, I mean, no author, I've been asked by people I don't know, people I know, about my publishers, my editor, my agent, and they will ask me, you know, is this a good idea or should I, like, run? And I will honestly tell them, to the best of my ability, what to do. And I think any author out there will do that. Because we look out for each other. Yeah.
I've heard a few nightmarish stories about it. But then, again, I mean, I become really close with agents because of the support system.
You just have to make sure that you have the right one. You don't want to rush into it and be like, but I need an agent. Because you don't technically need an agent. If you want to write for New York and you want somebody in your back and or at your back, they need you.
That makes sense.
I don't know what I would do without my agent, to be honest. Like, she does so much for me, and, you know, I can go to her and be like, hey, I want to write this book. What do you think? And she'll either be like, write it. I should be like, no. And I'm like, okay. So it's nice to have, like, an agent that will tell you, you know, that's a great idea, or something else.
Right. No, that makes so perfect sense. And also, if you want to go international or want to any other rights, I think they're really important to have.
Oh yeah, my agent has sold a lot of international rights for me that I would never have been able to sell on my own. They work hard for that, and for audio, they snap it around to a movie, which is next to impossible to get. But they're still trying, you know. So that's all stuff that we can't do as authors. It's a big deal.
I don't know how that goes from the author perspective. And, you know, we all have lives outside of your writing. You're a basketball practice now. So
I am. I'm sitting in the car.
Publishers to try to sell, but that makes sense.
Yes.
So you've been writing Tangled for a while, and you like what made you understand the different meanings? Do you have a was something made decide to write that, or were you bring your subject matter, or
I don't think I heard enough of that.
Okay, I'll say it again. What made you decide to write under Jen McLaughlin and then so okay. under your name?
Okay, Diane Alvarez is the name I wrote under first. When I got my first contract offer, my husband, God bless him, was nervous that somebody would hunt us down and like kill me on my porch or something, I guess. Because I'd be so popular, you know, so he was worried about that. So I came up with a pen name, which is Diane Albert. Diane is my mother's middle name. Albert is my dad's first name. So that's how I came up with that. And then when I wrote Out of Line, which is the new adult series I had spoken of earlier that my daughter read, I didn't want to release it as Diane because, first of all, I had no idea whether it was going to do good. It was a first-person point of view, new adult. It was very different for me. And then I also wanted to differentiate from the Diane Alberts books because Diane Alberts writes third-person contemporary romance point of view. Like, you know what you're getting when you pick up a Diane Alberts book. So I didn't want people to pick it up and be like, why is this in first-person? Why are they in college? You know, like, I didn't want to alienate any readers. So I just decided to use my real name for that because I was like, no one's going to come kill me. My real name. And then, ironically enough, the Jen McLaughlin book ended up being my best-selling book. The Out of Line series is by far my best-selling series ever. So.
Oh, wow.
And then I just rolled with that. So now I write books as Jen McLaughlin in their own first-person point of view. And then Diane Alberts writes the contemporary category type limit.
Oh, neat.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
That explains
Yep, and Jen McLaughlin doesn't just write. I referred myself as two people, so yeah, I know I sound crazy. Doesn't just write new adult. I write like edgy, like more risk, like the anti-heroes we were talking about. I have a series that is gang members, and then I also write with James. I write with James Patterson for his Bookshop line. So
yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So what's that like? That's going to be a neat experience.
Yes, oh my God, yeah. My agent called me, and it was right after Christmas last year. It was in January. And she's like, so I heard from Laura, who is my editor, who used to be at my now. She works at Bookshots with James Patterson, which I didn't know at the time. But she said, I heard from Laura. I knew she had went to Little Brown, but that was it. And she was like, and I have they have an offer for you. They want to see if you would be interested in writing a book with James Patterson. And I was like, wait, what? Like, that's not something I had ever pictured in my career. Like, he doesn't do romance. Like, it never even was a blip on the radar of things I thought would be possible with my career. So it took me a second, you know. I was like, wait, who? And she's like, James Patterson. I'm like, the James Patterson. She's like, yeah. Like, yeah. She has a South American accent, so sometimes I have a hard time understanding her on the phone, so I'm like, say it again? She said it, and then I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, she's like, is that something you would like to do? And I'm like, yeah. So, it all just kind of happened from there. Yeah, it was a process, basically. He tells you what the book is about, like, he tells you what he wants it to be about, and then I, as the author, like, flesh out that idea. And that's how it all starts.
That's awesome. How neat.
Yes, a lot of fun. It is. I love writing them. They're so much fun. I love working with my editor and with James, and I enjoy writing all of them. Like, I just finished my third one. I'm really enjoying it because it's the same characters throughout the series, too. So I love getting to go back to those characters to write their story to continue it. So
those are all set in Maine. really cool. Are you still there? Okay. I lost Robert again.
Hello?
Just those nights on radio.
There you are.
I don't know what you said after I said that. I wrote my third one. That's the last thing I could hear.
I just said that's really a neat opportunity. You know, Patterson just has his hands on everything. So how is that?
Yes. It's a great opportunity. It's something that I still can't believe was presented to me.
So when you're, that right there. And you write such a variety of, like you were saying, different. You've got Sons of Steel, which are kind of your nitty-gritty guys. And then you've got a little more edgy, three in the Sex on the Beach series. Yeah, and then what were those ones? Look at this one. Oh, your Out of Line series. That was the one that you were saying was the more popular one. Yeah. And then I got this cozy little, lovely little roses in Maine and a little. And how cool. That's neat. You write such a wide variety. And that is definitely shows to, from a reader perspective, that your maturity as an author, because new authors tend to stick to what they know and, you know, they are familiar with, and usually the same things, you know, around the type of characters. That's got to be fun. And I like how that you, and I really enjoy how you write one third person and what these are all person, because that just to me that makes a lot of sense, because you've probably a little bit of a different voice coming from your first person. So, you know, and your voice comes across when you're in first person character. So,
yeah.
What do you have? You said you've written the third one in the book series. That one. Why is the one coming out in days here? What do you have on that for the beginning of 2017?
I have. In January, the second book in the James Patterson series comes out, The Wedding in Maine. And in February, that's Jen McLaughlin. In February, I have another Jen McLaughlin book coming out. It's the third book in the Sons of Steel Row series.
Okay.
And then after that, I think the next book, I don't have my schedule in front of me in the car. I think the next book is Diane Albert's, and I think it's sometime in the spring. And it will be the second book in the Hamilton family series.
Oh, okay. So is that going to be a, you know, 3 or 4 part series? Do you have plans?
Four part. The one brother gets married in the first book, so I can't really do anything with him. But it's the sister and then the three brothers. They're all getting a book. I just finished, literally, like, I'm reading through it before sending it to Candace. The second book in the series, it's done. I'm just giving it that last read through, and it's her brother, Eric. So that was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with his story, too. Like I said, they're very protective in the first book, so people are either going to be like, oh, I need their stories because that's so cute, or they're going to be like, but they were so mean. But they did it out of love. They love their sister, so, you know. I just finished that, so it should be in Candace Haven's hands by probably maybe even tomorrow. So.
Wow, wow. A busy lady.
Yes, always.
When you what's the next? You send it in, go through it, edits happen, they send it to you, you fix it, and I know Entangled has a quick turnaround, so then it's probably three months or so beyond that, then you get. Did you catch me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you asked what the turnaround time was, or like what the process was editing with a couple. Usually I'll send it to Candace about 6 months out. So she'll get it with like 6 months before we're publishing. And the editing process, depending on how much I sucked, can be varied. But sometimes it's we just need to switch this and this. And then other times it's more intensive. But usually, knock on wood, my edits aren't too bad because I try to provide a very, nicely plotted manuscript. But usually like a month or two of actual edits, and then you got the copy edits. They usually come in a couple weeks later, and then like the last minute read through for the galleys before they go out to people. And I'd say the whole process is probably about 3 months long. There's some wait time in there, but usually like for my books, there's usually about 3 rounds of edits with Candace before they're done. Like the first intensive one of the, we need to change his motivation and he's being a jerk here, like those types of edits. And then it gets into the more of a, this sentence is awkward, fix this, what's he trying to say? I don't understand, like the more detailed. And then it's like one last read through of looking through like anything that was missed in the process. And then it's usually done.
But that's a pretty good turnaround. You don't see, a lengthier process.
You went away for a minute. Can you say that again?
I was just saying, compare the process with your Penguin Random House, one of the New York big cities. The length process.
Yeah. With Penguin, usually I have someone I work with my agent that I use for the longer New York books, because it helps keep me in line. So I have someone read through those while I'm writing it, and it kind of helps keep me where I need to be. So a lot of the times for my Penguin books, they're more fleshed out than the books I do on my own, because I already had somebody read through it. So I actually have had luck with the Penguin, where most of the time they're just like, this is great, just change this word here, and that's it. But the same goes for the James Patterson books. How that works is you send in like it in increments, so he and the editor can read it and make sure that you're going where they want you to go, if that makes sense. So I get feedback every 10,000 words, and the books are only 30,000 words. I know exactly where I need to be. Something changed, they'll tell me, so I go back and change it before I continue on. So that's a completely different editing process from my other books, because you don't normally have that. Mm-hmm. But I like doing that, because you'll know early on, like, oh, wait, we don't like the way this is fleshing out, so we need to change his motivation for this. So you don't have the whole book written before you figure out, wait, that doesn't make any sense. I actually really like doing it that way. Yeah.
That's a lot of time.
It helps me. And I've discovered, as much as I didn't like to write synopsis once upon a time, that I need to write synopsis because it keeps me in line. And like, I write very, very detailed, synopsis now. And that way the editor knows everything I'm going to write. And I get that approved before I even start writing. Because that way she can say, like Candace can be like, no, this isn't going to work. I don't like this. Let's change that before I even put it down on paper, because I don't want to have to go back and change it if it's something that could be easily fixed in the synopsis.
Right. I understand that. I would be encouraged, but, let's fix all these details before I get to work.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, and my synopsis are really long.
Well, we have 18 minutes left. I'm going to put the phone number out if anybody wants to call to speak with Jen/Diane. It is 337-633-09. Feel free to call. So you've got quite a bit in for the first part of 2017. Do you have a book and you've just always wanted?
Are you there?
Me? Yeah, it cut out.
I heard you say, do you have a book that you've always, that's all I heard.
Yeah, a book in you that you like, you've always wanted to write, but you just, it's not something that, maybe you'd more write it for yourself than write it for publication.
Let me think about that. Young adult, like I said, I really want to write young adult. I want to like find this book that nobody's ever written, which is next to impossible. And that would like blow everybody away, obviously, because that's how I am. But I actually sent a synopsis to my agent, but it's just not working yet. So I feel like if we could get it to work, it would be pretty cool, and I would write it. But most of the time, I don't really have time to sit there and think about things I want to write that I can't, because I'm so busy writing the things I have to write. So I don't let myself get carried away with that, because otherwise I would just get too distracted. But I do have like some, I do have some super secret projects I'm working on that I can't speak of. That is really kind of what you're saying. I would say it's definitely a fun project that I just decided I just wanted to do. And I was like, I'm going to just write it for fun. So maybe someday it will see the light of day. I don't know, but it is a lot of fun.
I love secret projects. There's so much. Keep everybody on their toes. Keep them guessing. That's great.
Yes, exactly.
So you have a really busy household with the four kids, a dog and three cats, and a husband. And we all know
exactly,
the husband can
exactly.
be.
Five cats now. My kids are crazy.
How do you find time to write? What's your? Do you set yourself on a schedule? Do you go hide in a closet? What do you do?
Sometimes I have hidden. Back when they were younger, I would write during my daughter's nap time because most of my writing. Back then, they were already in school because they're slightly older than her. Not much, not the youngest boy, but still, like, most of them are in school. So the ones that were home, they would take their nap time from approximately 12 to 2:30, and that's when I would sit down, hunker down, and write. Nowadays, they're all in school, so I write during the day while they're in school.
Shut up. So you have a regular...
Oh, am I there?
No. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I write in the daytime when they're in school now, and on weekends I will not touch my computer. Like, I'm very strict about it because that's the time for me to be with my kids. And besides that, even if I wanted to, we have like basketball games and cheerleading tournaments, and you know, we're always somewhere. So even if I wanted to, weekends it just doesn't happen. So and then in the summer again, I try to plan my summers light because I know the kids are going to be home and there's no silence in my house. But sometimes I'll be like, okay, everybody needs to go play a video game for 2 hours, just leave me alone. And they know why, because they know I have to write. And I'll be like, I need 2 hours, and as soon as I'm done, we'll go to the basketball court and we'll go to the playground or whatever, but I need that 2 minutes, you know.
Yeah. That's
so
awesome.
It's very it is very timed out and very scheduled.
Yeah, I can imagine it. I mean, I only have two, no pets. I can imagine how four in the house with the pets would be chaotic.
Yes. So. Yeah, it is very chaotic.
Well, let's tell everybody where they can find you online. I knew you have the DianeAlberts.com, which is also has your Jen McLaughlin website. It has the both sides to it. And as far as on social media, they can find you on Facebook.
I'm on there as Diane Alberts. I don't have two separate accounts because I used to, but it was just too much to try to keep up with. So I have the Facebook under Diane Alberts. I have the Twitter. My handle is at Diane Alberts as well. And then I have Instagram. I have my author account, which I basically post sexy pictures of men and teasers, and that's Jen McLaughlin 66 on Instagram. And then I have my personal Instagram account where I post pictures of my cats
and my children. And that's McLaughlin.den on Instagram. So depending on what you enjoy, I have two very different accounts.
Two tablet personalities, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's basically sexy guys or cats. So
whatever makes you it's awesome.
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Thanks so much for taking the time out to with you, Marcus. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you for having me very much.
Much luck with the new release as well. Am I right? Trying to do the math. Today is, Tuesday.
Yep.
Monday?
Yep.
And because okay.
That's.
Today is release day.
Actually, it is Monday. Yeah, it is Monday. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
I don't even know.
Well, good luck on the new series, and I hope it does well, and
Thank you.
We're always pulling for the Entangled Authors.
It's a good place to be.
Yeah. All right. Well,
thanks
again, and again, if you guys are looking for more information, you can find her on DianeAlbers.com. And have a great one. I'm up there.
You too. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Thank you guys, bye-bye. Thanks for listening in tonight. You can find me online at The Librarian Authors on the air, and I'm on Twitter at @T_library_. This broadcast has been recorded and will be available on the podcast from the Authors Near Cloud and iTunes, and you can find us on authorsontheair.com. We also have Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, whatever, Book Review Crew. We have many, many, many shows, so check us out at authorsontheair.com. And I'll be back in 30 minutes with my next show. Have a great day and sweet dreams.